My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Watch Out for Fireballs. It is a Games Club podcast.
And this week we're talking about Crazy Taxi. It's an arcade driving game developed by Hitmaker and published by Sega for arcades and Dreamcast in 1999.
Eventually ported to everything.
Yeah, you can play this on whatever you got.
Yeah, you can play a really bad version of it on your phone.
Mm-hmm. Why would you?
It's pretty bad. Well, you just got to have that crazy fix.
Mm.
This is a Gary pick. This defies our structure, but 2024, who gives a shit? I'm done with any of that. We don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
We just go. This is one I sick of pretending it's not.
Mm-hmm.
I love this game. This is one
of my
favorite games.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a top 50.
Mm-hmm.
Game for me, and I want to talk about it, and I don't care that it doesn't have a narrative. It's so good.
It is really good, really fun, super distilled.
Yes.
Yeah.
It could not be any longer.
Mm-hmm.
If you added a plot to this, I would shoot you.
don't you dare try.
Yeah, don't you dare. Get your writerly hands away from this, you motherfucker. Mm. It can't support it, and it doesn't want to. Like, this is probably the form factor that the prep for this took was probably my favorite preparing for an episode we've ever done. Just playing 3 or 4 runs of Crazy Taxi a day for the last 3 weeks. And just every time consistently getting like a mood boost, just having this like nugget of fun that I could just ingest whenever I wanted to.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It's really good. Every time I see this in arcade, I have to play it. I get real bummed out when the shifter's broken.
Yeah, which happens a lot.
Yeah.
I remember like 6 months ago or so, I sent you a Facebook Marketplace ad for your neck of the woods for an arcade machine, a Crazy Taxi for sale. You could have had that motherfucker in your garage right now, dude.
By my neck of the woods. Yeah, my uninsulated garage.
Yeah, so the uninsulated garage somewhere in unincorporated
Ohio, by my neck
no
of the
man's
woods,
land.
4 hours away.
Yeah, you could have had a Crazy Taxi cabinet in your garage.
Hey, put this in the back of your hatchback, Cole.
But first of all, of course, spoiler warnings. We're going to talk about everything that happens in this game, and you do not want to have it spoiled.
Everybody knows you pick up a customer, but after that, anything goes.
Anything goes. You could do anything, so in Crazy Taxi, you play as a cab driver, and you have to deliver customers to their destination as quickly and as stylishly and as recklessly as possible.
Customers of Crazy Taxi Incorporated, they want to get there fast, and they want to almost die.
This presupposes a world in which a customer will give you like a $300 tip, provided you get there in 10 seconds and also almost die. You will get paid so much money.
and if you run out of time, doesn't matter if you're going at full acceleration, leaping off of a hill, or if they're pregnant, they will leap from the car.
They will leap out, or if they're a priest. So this is an arcade game. It's meant to be played in short bursts.
Yes.
You play this for score. This gets past my ordinary aversion to playing for score. I play this for rank.
And
for score. Near the end of my tenure here, I can consistently get S's.
Okay.
I haven't gotten crazy. That's the higher tier. That's like twice as the threshold is twice as much money.
Oh, you have to make basically $100,000 in a run. Yeah.
I can't do that. But I can consistently get A's and S's. I never get below an A anymore.
Nice.
And I started when I first started this, I was like C's and D's.
Yes.
You know, so I real arc of improvement as I was preparing for this.
Yeah. This is firmly in that pocket of the cliche, you know, easy to learn, hard to master.
There is
a weirdly high skill ceiling for this.
Very much.
You know, while still being enjoyable to play on the, you know, if you're just kind of jopping, right?
Yeah. It's just fun just to pick up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never got to S's. I got a handful of A's that can reliably get B's. So.
And this is also my big caveat or asterisk is this is only on the good map, AKA the arcade map.
Yeah.
Not the original map from the original arcade version, which we'll talk about later.
that naming convention is so
funny. But on the good map, the other map I think is appreciably and scientifically worse.
So you want to get these high rankings, and those rankings are based on the total number of fares that you get here. Something that I feel could not matter less, though I do have a choice that I make at this, is you start by choosing your driver. You have four options. You've got Axel, who's kind of a punk guy. You have BD, who's kind of a cool guy. You have Gina, who's a cool lady, and Gus, who's an older gentleman. Yeah,
Gus, who is the guy who plays the cook from Wet Hot American Summer. Basically, almost actionably.
Yeah, he's talking to veggie cans.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the actor. Chris something.
Yeah. I stand Gina. I like her car the best. Yeah.
Oh, I would absolute Gus man. Because it looks like Benny from Roger Rabbit.
Oh, true. Yeah.
It's got that kind of vibe to it. Mm-hmm. And he goes, "You're full of energy," which is not a thing that you would say as like a quip. So there are differences between these cars. It's the standard differences that you find in like a Mario Kart.
Yeah.
So changes between acceleration, handling, things like that. I found these on GameFAQs.
There's so much conflicting information.
There is conflicting information.
Yeah.
But it matched my experience. You know, I guess the thing I found. The other reason why I favored Gus is that it's low acceleration, but really tight control.
Right.
And I don't play this game as like a car physics game. This doesn't feel like car physics. You turn way too sharply.
Yes.
For a car. Mm-hmm. And Gus's car is really good at that.
Gotcha.
Incredibly sharp turns.
Yeah. I guess, I don't know. I just, again, Gina for aesthetic reasons, but, you know, what I read was kind of basically the equivalent of Axel being fast acceleration, loose turning, right?
Yeah. I thought Axel was the Mario. Mm-hmm. And then BD was fast acceleration, loose turning. And then Gina might be high top speed.
Okay.
I do not remember it. But think Mario Kart, you know, kind of templates. That's what we're going for.
Yeah. There are bios in the Dreamcast manual. They're the most mundane things you've ever read.
Yeah, they're just guys.
Yeah.
They're just people. they're just trying to make their money.
Mm-hmm.
So you start this game, you're dropped in a starting point in a city that is kind of based on like an arcadey version of San Francisco.
Right. You've got the hills so you can do the sabotage jumps. You got switchbacks and things. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it goes eventually, similar to like San Andreas or something, it goes off into the unincorporated San Francisco. There. And then there's another map, which we need not talk about that much.
I'll talk about it later.
We can talk about it. Like I played it, but it's just worse.
Yeah. So let's talk about the controls. We already mentioned that this isn't car controls. There's nothing resembling cars.
Yes.
I think it is also important to talk about the difference in playing this on the cabinet versus playing this on a Dreamcast, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, this is fast and hectic. You're doing, you know, quick maneuvers, weaving in and out of traffic, making tight turns. No real serious driving physics happening here. No gear ratios, no drag, no anything really.
Yes. Yeah. Your car will turns very quickly, but does not have that. I tend to in racing games, as we talked about in Burnout Paradise, I'm bad at traditional car racing games. I get stuck in a cycle where I overcorrect a turn and then I just kind of ping pong back and forth.
Between
the barriers kind of forever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the story of me in racing games, like serious racing games.
Right.
Here that doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. If you start going forward, you can correct. You also have one of the moves. We'll talk about the special moves you can do that just straightens you out and points you forward.
Yes.
Kind of eliminates all momentum and just shoots you forward.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of gimmick here is you have a gas and a brake, and then you have a reverse and drive kind of standing in for the feel of a stick shift.
Yes.
There. It's obviously much more simple, mm-hmm. but you manipulate this for in order to kind of do these special tricks and then also to stop on a dime and to start on a dime, so to speak. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I love this. Not that big of a fan of, driving stick in a game or in real life, I learned how, but it's stressful, right?
Yeah.
But this just like giving you something to do with your right hand that is not shooting a gun, which means you're not playing Lucky and Wild. Like this is the only arcade racer that gives you that.
There are other ones that give you something, there are stick shift games like that. I've seen other arcade racers that do something similar to this.
Yeah, Hydro Thunder, putting your throttle on that. Yeah,
and that's fun. Like I like that too. Hydro Thunder is fun. This is really nice. I actually like the Dreamcast version of I like the Dreamcast version of driving more.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really like driving with a wheel very much.
Okay.
But I like the stick in the arcade.
Yeah.
Just because it's got great kinesthetics. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're slamming this thing back and forth, and it's real timing, timing dependent. There's no like halfway with it. It is just real fun to commit to it, right?
Yes.
And this is carried over. This shifting is carried over into the console and PC versions. Most racing games that you think of break and then go backward are just on the same thing. I hold the brake enough and then I stop and then I go, then I go backward. Here, you actually shift the gear. Your brake is just stop no matter what.
Yes. Whichever direction you're going in.
Yeah.
And this allows for kind of dial a combo kind of things that you can do in order to do these specific maneuvers and to give you this feel that you have of, the fantasy is a lot stronger in the arcade. I can be very precise at home, but regardless which it emulates a little bit of that. Fast and furious, putting a car into gear and then peeling out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you're just in kind of free roam mode, you don't have a fare. You see potential customers waiting on the side of the road with different colored rings around them. And there's strategy to this. You can, as you pull up to the ring, customers, if you almost hit them, they dive out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Then they will take longer for them to get to your car.
Yeah.
You want to pull up close to them.
Yeah.
The color of the ring indicates the distance to their destination. More distance equals more money. But there's also strategy in that as well.
Right.
You can do
related to where you're at in the overall run that you are doing and also where on the map you are.
Yeah. And also just kind of so you have a this, we'll get into this later. This all connects.
Yeah,
it's a deeply complicated arcade game and the lore is through the roof. You have the individual timer that you have for the customer. So you get a customer, they get in your car, you have a time limit to get them to where they go. But you also have an overall time limit that goes down. One of the things that you are managing in this game is the push and pull between doing longer hauls for money. Mm-hmm. Shorter hauls because you can get there in very fast and get bonus time to your overall time.
Yes.
So you're kind of doing, I don't know if it's green or yellow, whichever one is the brightest one. This game is not very colorblind friendly.
No.
I think there are five colors and I only need to know two of them. Really? The brightest one for long hauls, the shortest one for time.
Yeah.
And the best strategy I found was ping ponging between those two.
Yeah, it's also the case of anytime you're driving without a fare, you're losing as well. So if all that you have around you is the red short distance fares, where they take you, well, you're going to be making money on your way there. Where they take you may be a little bit more rich in a longer distance.
Yes.
Fares, different and people.
You're very likely to get that 5 bonus seconds.
Yes.
For doing it. So there's this layer of strategy to it, like all good arcade games, of balancing those two things. Yeah. You can't just go for the higher value amounts.
No.
Like you can if you're a perfect driver, but I needed to top off my time.
Yes. Yeah. If the passenger timer hits 0, they will bail no matter what is happening. And you won't get any money for that. You don't want that to happen because you may have wasted, maybe 30 seconds without getting any money for it.
Yeah. And no time.
Yeah.
If you get there in the normal amount of time, what they consider to be normal, you get 2 seconds to your overall time. If you get there speedy, you get 5 seconds to your overall time.
Big deal.
Yep.
Yeah. So let's talk about the stunts and combos, because this isn't something that I really engaged with until I sat down to play this for the show, right? Like, I knew that you could get this effect, you know, with, you know, by basically shifting into a turn to do, to do a, drift.
Crazy slide. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. But I didn't know how many of these there were until I sat down and made a run at the crazy box.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, is like a training ground for them.
Yes.
There's kind of two different things you'll do. Mm-hmm. You almost die. Mm-hmm. So when you almost hit things, which means you're driving and you're trying to not hit things because that slows you down, not nearly as much as any other video game.
No. Racer.
Again, an arc I get into in a serious racing game where you hit something and like you just stop.
Yeah.
You keep going. You have to hit stuff. It's not sensible, Taxi. but you want to near miss. These are called crazy throughs, and then jumps, which are called crazy jumps, which you jump over cars and things.
Yeah.
Doing those things will give you additional tips.
Right. Customers love this. They basically throw money in the air.
They lose their mind.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. And then Gus goes, "You're full of energy." just like, yeah, man.
Yeah. So you're doing this and you're building up combos, and you can keep these going. So there are stunts that you can do intentionally that, you know, also really aid in getting around the map more quickly. It's difficult to describe the timing of these, like what you have to do, because it's an awful lot of, okay, release all the pedals, shift, and then slam on one of them. And then the different combinations of what you're doing in combination of steering or not steering with them, you know, creates this result, right? But these are like boosts and drifts.
Yeah, the thing that is the bread and butter for me is the dash, because that will straighten you out and shoot you forward and give you extra speed. That is letting off the acceleration and then hitting drive and acceleration. You're supposed to hit drive right before it, acceleration, but if you hit them at the same time, it also works.
Yes.
So letting off of drive and then hitting them both, and you will dash forward. This will get you out of a stop. Like, you won't skid your wheels if you are going from a complete stop, and it straightens you out.
Yes.
The other thing is the crazy drift, as we mentioned, which is drifting, but it's not your parents' drift. It's a little bit different. It's a little crazy. Yeah. and this is also really big because you change direction and you get money for while you're doing this. So you can do that kind of thing where you are dropping somebody off and you turn the cab to be facing the other way, you know, so you can just cut out of there.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, making it so you don't have to do a big, you know, U-turn. You're essentially doing like a burnout in order to rotate your position, and then you can boost out of that.
There are a couple of other little moves that you can do here that are not listed. You don't get points for them. But for example, if you do a crazy dash and you don't hit if you don't hit forward, if you hit a direction, you'll turn 90 degrees.
Yes.
From a stop. You can do things like that too. There's a lot of nuance into how you control your cab.
Yeah. Yeah. You can boost into a drift and then boost out of it. It's called the limit cut, is what that is. And then you can also do this by shifting into reverse and hitting the brake sometimes. So you can stop on a dime, kind of the reverse of the of the boost. Or you can just plain
crash,
you know, good old fashioned. Yeah.
Yeah. A time tested way to stop.
You know, I nearly failed my driving test because I didn't do the crash into the KFC maneuver. I know.
It's worth a lot of points. You know, they mark not full of energy. Okay. So you do this to build your combo so it gives you more tips. And if you hit anything, it resets your combo and your tip boost. Little tip for this game, at least in you know, and I'm not a crazy driver, but I don't pay attention to this.
Yeah,
if you stress about it, you're gonna die.
Yeah,
you just play the game. Like, this is a real flow state game.
Yes.
You know, you're gonna hit stuff. It's fine. You try not to, obviously, but like, don't look at a number.
Yeah.
You know, like, by any means, never consider an actual number other than your time.
What happens to me? If I start sweating the combo, is I get real anxious, I get real in my head, and I stop taking risks.
Yeah.
And this is a game where you want to be taking risks.
You have to, because the clock is always running down.
Yeah.
Like, you cannot play this game conservatively. Like, there are different play modes, which we'll talk about, where you could you know, like take more time. But I tend to prefer arcade mode where your time is dependent on how you're playing.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to constantly be like, I'm a shark.
Yeah.
Constantly keep moving or you die.
Mm-hmm. Keep that meter rolling. Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you have your fare and you're approaching where they want to go, you know, the tower records and whatnot, you're going to be guided by a green arrow at the top center of the screen. This is this was so innovative that Sega patented it.
Yeah.
Which is weird. I always get weirded out when game companies patent something like that. You know,
patent an arrow.
Yeah.
This is the reason why. So this is pretty good as a guide. It's not perfect. There have been huge strives in racing games about like letting you know when turns are coming up.
Yes.
This is the reason why the second map is worse than the first map.
Mm-hmm.
The second map has way more situations where the arrow will just point you forward through a block and one way around the block is a lot shorter than the other.
Yeah.
And the arrow gives you no guidance. You can sight read the first map. The second map, you need to memorize more.
Right.
And that makes sense as an arcade or a console concern. You know, they know you're going to spend more time with it. I don't find it as fun.
Right.
I want to get in a flow state of this where I am sight reading the game.
Right. Yeah. So you approach the destination and the place where you need to stop is going to be highlighted by a green grid. This is, you know, these vary in size depending on what the destination is. This is where your stunts to, you know, slide into a direct stop or do your stop on a dime will help you out to get them there. And they hop them out and then you start over again. You get your fare that's added to your total and you get the, you know, time bonus if you're playing in arcade mode, which you ought to be because that's the best mode.
Yeah. And then you go and continue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are different modes, as we mentioned. Arcade mode, you start with a minute and you gain extensions by performing well. There's a nice little ease of use thing. If your passenger time limit is higher than your overall time limit, your overall time limit will increase to that.
Yeah.
So if you have 10 seconds left and you pick up a long haul passenger, you'll get all the time to get them, drop them off. This is also a good strategy.
Yes.
If you're very low on time, this will end up netting you time. Through that, you can also play for as much money as you can get in either 3, 5, or 10 minutes. 10 minutes of this game would exhaust me.
Yes.
You know, when we talked about this earlier, how this being an arcade game that lasts exactly as long as it can and supports exactly what it can. The world record for this is like 2 hours and 15 minutes or something. That's like a Softies Brother film. Like I can't handle the 2 hour heart attack. That would be playing the world record of Crazy Taxi.
Yeah.
You know, my neck gets sore playing this, you know, from
so
tension. I couldn't do it. I much prefer there to be a natural limit. And most of my games end up lasting, you know, 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah. I like the arcade rules, right? You start with 1 minute and then it you know, extends by you picking this up, 3 or 5. That feels too optimizable to me. Actually,
it'd be good for learning the map. Like you just wanted to cruise around and take this more seriously than I want to take it, I guess.
Yeah. I don't want to take it very seriously.
No, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's a crazy taxi.
You get a license rating, at the end of your round. From D up through crazy, I think it is. This is based on how much money you brought in, which of course is a measure of how, you know, your overall driving when you had your fares, right?
Yes. You also get a ranking.
Yeah.
There's a grade, but then it also says what your, you know, your 21st, something like that. The relationship between those two things need not be specified. so you learn the map. That's a big part of this. You're not on a course.
Right.
So the game models a city. It has traffic and shortcuts. As the game goes on, there will be more traffic. But the destinations are all in fixed places. It's a little bit open world, but you can also find kind of routes. The natural flow will send you through the map. If you don't go to the most immediate fare, sometimes it will send you backwards.
Yes.
To areas of comfort. And some of these things are set. Like I found consistent backtracks. Some of them also feel randomized. They may randomize at a certain level after a certain amount of time has passed. I don't know the mechanics under the hood for it.
No, neither do I.
But knowing the map is more than just knowing the geometry. It's also knowing the pickups and destinations and their relationship between each other. You can do a circuit of the city in this, and you can basically go infinite that way if you figure it out.
Mm-hmm. And it's very satisfying. And remember, this is 1999. There were computer games that modeled a big open city, right? You had your, you know, SimCopter, you had Carmageddon and whatever, but like having this in an arcade felt amazing, right?
Yeah.
You know, especially with how fast you could get around it, and just kind of how quickly the game ran. It was really neat.
Very much so.
Yeah.
So the arcade map, which is the original map, not to be confused with the original map, which is not the arcade map, is
the North Library is south of the Quad.
Yeah. That Pier 9 over Pier 2 over there by Pier 99. You're thinking about the bus 2A, is arranged like a circuit.
Mm-hmm.
It is down these San Francisco hills, down to a shoreline. There's a little island mm-hmm. with a lighthouse. There is a heliport, baseball yep. stadium, things like that.
Yeah.
Then they give you original map, which does not mean the original map. It means a map they made for just this originally.
it's
so a horrible failure of words. I love it so much.
This is bigger and more dense with drivable surface area.
Yes.
But there are fewer
blocks.
There are fewer destinations. This is not a big circuit. You know, this is one that you're meant to kind of crisscross in a bunch of different ways. The thing that I hate about the original map is that fucking freeway.
Yeah, it's really obnoxious.
I hate it so much. There's no way to get off of it.
There's a little freeway in the arcade version as well.
Yeah.
But it's pretty deep into the map. Mm-hmm. You can play whole games without getting to it.
Yeah.
And it's a lot easier to get onto and off of.
Yeah.
The console ports have something called Crazy Box. Mm-hmm. Don't stick your dick in it.
Jesus, Gary.
Sorry.
I mean, it's laying right there, but you don't have to pick it up.
Sorry. A series of these challenge mini games that don't teach you how to do the stunts by any means.
No,
they just require you to do them.
there's a very misleading little press start for help thing that will give you patently incorrect advice on how to do this.
Press start to get made fun of. Yeah. You know, to get a misleading Castlevania 2-esque hint. These will be ramp jumps, like breaking a certain number of balloons, drifting into bowling pins, things like that. How long can you drift for a certain number of seconds?
Mm-hmm.
When me and my friends played this when I was college age, when I lived in the big college party house, we played the regular game, passed it back and forth, but we also were trying to get through all these.
Okay.
And that was a real, like, give me a try. We mm-hmm. kept trying and stuff. Eventually I unlocked them all. When you do them all, you get a pedicab.
Yeah.
No.
Does that control any differently? I've never played with the pedicab. Oh, okay.
I mean, to the degree that any of these control differently.
Right.
Like, you don't have to tap a button to bump your feet or anything. It's just, you know, it's just a skin.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember unlocking it. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was younger playing this, the Crazy Box seemed really cool. Mm-hmm. On this run through, I played through them, but I just wanted to play the actual game.
Yeah,
getting those little markers the mini games were not super fun to me.
No, if they were actual mini games, that'd be one thing. But it being tested on knowledge that you do not have, it's a weird and unpleasant feeling.
They're way more demanding than the actual game is.
Yeah,
like you don't just have to learn how to crazy drift; you have to crazy drift for like 15 seconds or something.
Yeah,
you know, just in this tiny little box, you mm-hmm. know, this very small little arena. It's very difficult.
Yeah, or doing very tight, like, drift off of these ramps onto very small islands to that kind of stuff. Yeah, if it was like Goofy or Monkey Ball style stuff, that was more of a like celebration of the mechanics as opposed to slapping you on the wrist for not knowing something they didn't tell you. I would be way more in favor of these.
I think so too.
Yeah.
It ends up working out as a pass the controller mm-hmm. concern, which is, this is one of the all time best pass the controller games.
Oh yeah.
That is very fun. Mm-hmm. But that is the best, form factor for
Agreed.
It.
Yeah. Let's talk about the aesthetics of this. This feels like somebody took 1999 and bottled it. This is so comforting.
Yeah. It's very 1999 for all of the good and ill. of this. I do think this is when people who are not me are very nostalgic for the Dreamcast.
Uh-huh.
This is the thing I can see.
Yes.
You know, there are a lot of games that people get, like Power Stone, and I'm like, I didn't like that game. Like, what are you talking about? That wasn't fun. But this is that. It's very bright. It's super arcadey. It moves very fast, very smooth. Mm-hmm. It is just very simple fun.
Yeah.
Like, this to me feels like the best argument for the Dreamcast.
Yeah. And there's just something about the way it puts polygons up on the screen. You know, it just, you look at this and you say, yes, this is Dreamcast, to me, this is that particular era. And it's Sega doing what I like Sega doing, you know, it's like the thing about them that has aged the best, which is this kind of arcadey, action kind of stuff. Right.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially in the arcade, this is a game that moves very fast and very smoothly. The performance of this when you sit down and play it on the original machine is phenomenal. It's a little bit chunkier on the PC and console ports.
Yeah. Not unplayably so at all, but a little bit less smooth. For sure.
A little bit less impressive. Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. The soundtrack for this game is very famous. There are only 7 songs on it. And it's 3 Offspring songs and 4 Bad Religion songs. What else could you want, I guess? I actually hate the soundtrack to this. I'm not going to all of a sudden not be a music snob just because I love this video game. What I will say, though, is it's really appropriate.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, did a very funny thing when I played this. So the Steam version of this comes with, we'll talk about them bastardizing the soundtrack and somehow making it worse.
Okay.
There's a mod that fixes the physics and puts in the original names for things, but does not fix the soundtrack, even though it says it does. I looked elsewhere to fix the soundtrack. It is a bespoke file.
Okay.
So what I did was took out all of the new punk songs and just put in Offspring's All I Want as the only song for the game.
It's not even the full song of All I Want. They're doing like a Tony Hawk 1 thing where it fades out after a certain amount of time.
Yeah. I just had that going over and over and over.
So every minute and 30 seconds, you're getting the yeah.
That's all I really needed. The other songs are, even the other Offspring songs are pretty obnoxious. Uh-huh. And it's all these songs from Inxnay on the Ombre, fucking Offspring, gross.
Yeah.
But yeah, that song that is, you know, very Crazy Taxi.
Yeah, it is. They're one and the same, right?
Yes.
You know, just like, what is it? Superman is one and the same with Tony Hawk.
Tony Hawk. Skater,
right?
Yeah. Dracula with everything.
Yeah. I'm a little bit more sunny on the soundtrack on this. That appropriateness for it goes a long way. Also, you know, I like it when a Bad Religion song pops up. So
we were different ages.
Yeah.
In 1999. Different, yeah. You know, so
it's kind of energetic, energetic punk pop kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It had its, I was over it by now, but that was also cause I was, you know, over everything cause I was 19. So, but yeah, no judgment. I just, it also, Offspring did Pretty Fly for a White Guy. Like, their crimes cannot be.
It's terrible. You can't come back from that. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't pay enough for what Offspring has done in terms of just being like one of the most embarrassing. That song, like, I defy you to like listen to it.
No, it's awful.
Yeah. It just ties your stomach into a knot and nails it to hell.
I will not give it to you, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. It's every part of it. It just constitute parts of like,
blah. Anyway, so that's in the original, the Bad Religion and Offspring soundtrack. Sega, when they went to pump more money out of this, decided to reduce costs, and they did not relicense those tracks. So instead, when you get these later ones, including the one you can buy on PC right now, you get songs by such musical institutions as Pivot, Too Rude, and Total Chaos.
Yeah. Before I fixed it, I played with these, you know, I was just fucking around with it. It's not to me, like, again, I'm a music snob. It doesn't, you know, but they're not appreciably worse. They're just less appropriate.
Yeah.
They still just sound like late 90s pop punk to me.
And I would be lying if I said that part of the appeal of playing this wasn't the nostalgia.
Yeah, exactly.
And that, you losing want that those brain, tracks. Yeah.
You want that hand to your connection to pop back up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other thing that was really notable about this, is that it used real life product placement. Your destinations were real things like Pizza Hut, KFC, the Levi's store, Tower Records, stuff like that. Those were taken out, became like Pizza King and shit like that.
Right.
You can mod that back in as well. The original models, the code, and the voice lines for that are all still there. They just kind of got dummied out.
Yeah. And there's a mod you can find. It's on the Steam community page if you're playing this on PC. It's called the Crazy Taxi Overhaul. This will bring them back.
Yes.
If you happen to love the Offspring and are intensely loyal to the Yum Brands chains yeah. of food restaurants. Yeah.
Yes, PVC, Pepsi, or what have you. The final bit of the aesthetics that we have to talk about is the narrator.
Oh, yeah.
Who is absolutely key to this. The tract mode for this is aggressive in the arcade. It just screams at you, yeah, you join the Navy the whole time. Like, hey, get over here and have some fun with Crazy Taxi.
It is one of the loudest, most obnoxious cabinets in the entire world.
It's only so louder than the music.
Oh, God, yeah.
He just yells at you the whole time. And then when you're playing at home, you know, I don't need to be attracted. I bought the game here. He still says everything you know, that's going on, including these soft, you know, negging you when you don't do very mm-hmm. well.
Yeah.
So adding into this arc of narrators telling you you're not quite good enough. Mm-hmm. We have Queen Latifah telling you you got bronze rank. We just did Abject Suffering where Danny DeVito, after going down on him, says, not how I would have done it, but not bad, kid. And then now you can also have the Crazy Taxi guy going, is that the best you can do? Shut your best.
Okay, not Wolfman Jack.
Yeah, it's Wolfman guy. Wolfman snack over here. It is satisfying when you get him to say good things about you.
Oh, yeah.
When you get the ANS ranks, it's like, oh, man, I did it. I did it for dad. You know, I'm helping teacher.
I'm a good boy.
Yeah, he's great.
Oh, man. Is there anything else about the game or the aesthetics that you want to hit?
No, I think we just kind of, you know, we talked about it as a very fun thing. Fun is hard to talk about.
Yep.
You know, as a thing, it's hard to quantify. Mm-hmm. It's just, there's an overall joyousness to this.
Yeah.
If you missed, I will be curious if this is a thing that somebody can pick up in 2024 and still have fun with without any nostalgia. Uh-huh. I want to say yes, because it mm-hmm. feels very elemental. It feels like a Pac-Man level kind of elemental, just funness.
Yeah.
But I don't know that to be true.
It depends on how many other places they have seen this idea.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. Cause there are knockoffs. We'll talk about that a little bit as well. Mm-hmm. That would be an interesting thing for people to write in. Mm-hmm. About. So yeah. If you tried this in Year of Our Lord 2024 and you're like, what the fuck are you guys talking about?
Yeah.
Let us know what didn't work for you.
Yeah. You know, and there was especially like, again, it's hard to quantify the Dreamcast times. There was a certain amount of razzle dazzle that this hit you with that for me definitely set in. And you know, that first impression counted for a lot, not just encountering this in the arcade and being like, you know, just kind of head over heels for it, but also, wait, you mean I can play this at home too? And it's basically the same.
Yeah.
You know, that was, you know, that was rarer then.
It was a thing that, it was like almost a second wave of that.
Yeah.
Right. So that was a big thing early on in, you know, Jeremy Parrish doing God's work on NES Works, mm-hmm. talking about arcade conversions.
Yes.
That, you know, would happen. And some of them would be very, very accurate. And that was just a really mind blowing thing. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's different generations of that.
Yeah.
This is the thing that came back after Street Fighter.
Yes.
That was the thing I felt for Street Fighter. Mm-hmm. On the Super Nintendo, like, holy shit, this is just Street Fighter.
Mm-hmm.
I can play it at home. And then that had kind of a fallow period.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I didn't feel that feeling for a while and then came back with this game specifically, even though I didn't, there are other Dreamcast arcade ports, but I didn't play those.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't have the arcade experience.
This was always Sega's thing to a certain degree, was trying to make this arcade parody. It was pretty much the entire sales pitch for the Saturn.
Yeah.
You know, to the point where they would, like, when you bought one, they would just give you Virtua Cop in Daytona, right? Yeah. It's like, hey, here's your little arcade at home kind of thing.
Yeah. It sounds like we're done with the episode. We still have more to talk about.
We do.
Because we're going to move into development.
Yeah. Now.
This is going to be one of the shorter WAFs, but it's not going to be the all-time shortest WAF.
Yes. So the studio that made this, Hitmaker, is kind of the brand name for Sega AM Research and Development number 3, or AM3. AM2 is the more famous of these studios that were internal to Sega. That was the one that was headed by Yu Suzuki, and it developed kind of the earlier, more cutting edge arcade games, things like Hang On and Space Harrier in the 80s, and then Virtua Fighter, Daytona USA in the 90s. AM3 is a bit of a weirder studio. making like they had some racing games, they had some niche stuff, they had horse racing games, just a little bit more goofy.
In both Nintendo and Sega, this is like the R&D2, kind of the Wario studio of Nintendo. They make better stuff.
Yeah,
like if I'm looking at Hang On, Space Harrier, Virtual Fighter, and Daytona, Daytona arguably stands up.
Yeah,
you know, but I like this is the more interesting of the studios here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't find corroboration for this, but I'm reporting it because it's wild.
I saw this too. If this is true, it would have changed the entire trajectory of my life, either getting me into the hated dog or making me not play this game.
Yeah. I saw this listed in the trivia section of TV Tropes. There was no citation. I did searches, every search that I could try to think of to pull this up. I couldn't find it elsewhere. So grain of salt the size of a boulder. That says Crazy Taxi began development in 1996 as a licensed Disney tie-in game called Goofy Taxi. It was developed on the Model 2 arcade platform at that time, same chipset as Daytona USA Virtua Fighter 2. And it was tied into like the Goof Troop movies.
Yes. That would have been very different. That would have been a very different pill for me to swallow. I will say I would not have done it for the show. Even if I ended up liking it back in the day, the presence of Goofy would have stopped me from suggesting it. Cause I don't want to talk about Goofy for a while. I want to talk about my friends, AJ, Gus. Yeah. I don't care for Goofy.
Yeah.
So I hope this is not true, but if it is true, we live in the correct universe. Like something good happened. A meteor hit us and knocked us into alignment.
That license lapsed. It was if we believe that story. AM3 decided to reuse that concept, restarting in 1998 as they were working on the Naomi chipset,
which was a real big deal at the time. Basically, this just the same as Dreamcast, but with more memory, stronger processor.
Yeah.
And this is as close, we talk about Sega always wanting to have their arcade experience at home. This is as close as they've been at this point.
Yeah. That's how you got like House of the Dead 2, Day and Date, these things that were, you could play at the arcade, decide that you liked it, and then get basically the same thing. If you decided to spend all your quarters at once, to have it at home. Right.
Yeah.
The producer for this game, Kenji Kano, led this project with kind of this minor goal of making something that deviated from what was then the standard kind of equation, value trade, which was 100 yen, roughly $1 for 3 minutes of play. Mm-hmm. This being kind of a return to this form of, well, you play for as long as you're good, right?
Yeah.
If you're good, you get more value out of your money.
Endurance based. Yes. I've been watching a YouTuber that's been talking about arcade ticket retention, redemption games. Mm-hmm. And the phrase that he uses for these are endurance based.
Yes.
Models.
Yeah.
So Sega applied for two U.S. patents for technology that made the game, the direction pointing arrow, and the tech that made the pedestrians jump away from the car.
That's right. Sega has intellectual property for self-preservation.
Not doing manslaughter. Yeah. Yeah. So anytime you jump out of the way of a car, you owe Sega. Mm-hmm. And that bill is coming.
It's taken out of your estate when you die.
Yes. Yeah. Taxes. So this was Hitmaker's most successful game by a lot. Did really well in the arcades, got ported to Dreamcast, many other systems.
Mm-hmm.
And it was huge. They were originally going to make a movie with Richard Donner.
Yep.
As the guy. Love that.
It would have been wild to see that. Richard Donner, director of Superman.
Yeah, well, Richard Donner is also is he Gremlins? Am I thinking this right?
Maybe.
Yeah, Richard Donner is lots
Richard
of stuff.
Donner's Gremlins.
Goonies.
Yeah.
Goonies, Lethal Weapon. That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, there we go.
So, that would have been really crazy. Going to be in 2021 or 2001. That fell through. Not 2021. That's way past its sell-by date.
Although this grenade still rolling around. Sega optioned a bunch of their properties for TV and film in 2014. That's where we got the Sonic movie. Ultimately getting started and going through. So who knows? This would make a very, if they did this, what I would want for it to be is like a Saving the Rec Center kind of thing from the like rideshare corporations or whatever.
From Lyft.
Yeah.
Crash into Lyft. It would feel like, I feel like there have been a lot of movies that are similar to this. That have kind of come out. They're just about, wildly driving around the city called like I haven't seen the movies, but like Rush Hour, stuff like that.
Maybe. Yeah. There's also that what that Joseph Gordon-Levitt Premium Rush. There we go.
Yes, Premium Rush.
Yeah, I mean, and like for as little story as there is Baby here, Driver. Like. making a movie that is entirely just a chance for big dumb car stunts, like time immemorial, right?
Yeah, Bullets, it's been a minute too.
Blues Brothers. Well, I mean, and then Fast and the Furious became not that. Yeah,
yeah, that's big dumb helicopter stunts now.
Yeah,
There are also sequels to this game, sequels and spinoffs. Crazy Taxi 2 came out in the Dreamcast for 2001. It's set in New York City, aka the Small Apple. It has a new mechanic where you can carry multiple customers at a time, which is kind of a risk reward. You have to deliver them all to get your money, but if you do, you get all your tips are multiplied. They each tip you. It's not as good. Nothing that came out after this is as good. Just kind of period.
It's a lot of trying to rebottle it. I tried on Crazy Taxi too. Like that, picking up multiple fares is a neat idea. It's just the map isn't there.
Yeah. The map is not as good.
Yeah.
And this is not just our opinion, even in the Crazy Taxi diehard community. This is the opinion.
Yeah. Sega left the hardware business in 2001. And started working with Microsoft in the Xbox era. That's why you have these real weird, like Xbox only, your Toe Jam and Earl 3, your whatever that Panzer Dragoon was they put out there. It's kind of a weird era when Sega wanted to develop for anybody, for a new competitor, not somebody who fucking drove them into the ground like Sony or Nintendo. And so they started working with them as Microsoft was developing the Xbox Live service. The team began working on Crazy Taxi Next, which was going to be a multiplayer version that had like a day-night cycle kind of deal. That eventually was scrapped, didn't pan out, but that was worked into Crazy Taxi 3 High Roller, which has the maps from the first two games plus a new Las Vegas map.
Yeah. That is, if you can play it, that is considered to be a great version to play because it has the maps from the first one.
Yes.
And the Las Vegas map, I've never played this version, but Scuttlebutt, this is better than the New York map. There are also portable ports. I played the PSP version.
Did you?
This actually? Yeah, back in the day. It's not very good. The draw-in kills it.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of impressive looking, but like a lot of PSP things, it's a little misguided.
Yeah. The most misguided one is Crazy Taxi Catch a Ride, which was for the Game Boy Advance. Now you think, okay, portable system, basically overhead. A Super Nintendo.
It'll be Chinatown Wars.
Make it overhead. Make it simple. Go. No, they didn't do that.
No,
this is the like it's chunky faux 3D at basically 7 frames per second.
It's really rough.
It was galling. I couldn't believe what they tried to do with that.
It is a middle finger to God. Like it is the kind of thing that you smote. There's a whole class of paladins that are dedicated to striking this cart down.
They're on their way right now.
So in 2010s, Crazy Taxi saw a little bit more in mobile. There's a game called Crazy Taxi City Rush in 2014, which is a Temple Run like game. You can no longer get that. Like all mobile games. There is also, I never got a chance to play that. There's also Crazy Taxi Tycoon, aka Gazillionaire, which was released in 2017, which is a business sim. Trying to outcompete a rideshare company, you're not really doing very much crazy taxiing.
No,
you're kind of running a crazy dispatch.
It's crazy latka.
Well,
I mean, please, latka was a mechanic along with Reverend Jim Nignatowski. Okay,
I don't watch grandpa shows. I just wanted to pull one of the characters.
Okay. Good lord, don't Gary, don't walk into my house.
I'm not gonna watch your grandpa TV, man. I'm still young and vital. I never played that, but you can also just download now Crazy Taxi on your iPhone. It's not very good.
No, don't do it. It's accelerometer steering.
If you attach it to a controller, which I think you can, it would be good.
Yes.
But just on the actual phone, it's no good. But I did it for the show for funzos.
Yeah. Put it in that, put it in a backbone, you know, get that pea colored Death Stranding backbone they're releasing. So you get that port. The most recent Crazy Taxi news is from the Game Awards last year in 2023. Sega got up there, and because that's a big commercial, showed this kind of trailer, but it was mostly a CGI medley for this new initiative that they're doing, which is to kind of bring back and revive these long dormant franchises. This includes Crazy Taxi. Right now, nobody knows if this is going to be like a standalone game for each of these, or if it's going to be them trying to do like a Fortnite metaverse NFT thing. God only knows what they what they've got in them. But Crazy Taxi is not a completely dead concern right now.
The wish casting I would have would would neither be a brand new just Crazy Taxi game nor a NFT Fortnite nightmare. It would be like a Atari 50 hero remixes of all these classic Orphan things. Like you buy a compilation that's just called, you know, Dreamcast All-Star or whatever, and it's just remakes of the five really good arcade Dreamcast games or what have you of the games of this era, dead properties.
It's a a real bummer that Atari bought Digital Eclipse, because they would have been the perfect people to do that.
It would have been great. You know, and I wouldn't trade Atari 50 for anything.
No,
that thing's super neat. But the you know, there I want every company to get that kind of legacy treatment, basically.
You know,
that kind of official preservation is super cool.
Sell me a museum, please.
There are knockoffs, including one real big one that's real weird that, you know, but for the grace of God, we could have done. The in 2001, Radical Entertainment, Fox, and Electronic Arts released The Simpsons Road Rage, which is just Crazy Taxi starring The Simpsons and in Springfield.
Yes. That was the basis for what would eventually become Simpsons Hit and Run, which we did for the show, misguidedly.
Yes.
I forget if that was a patron demand, so I apologize. The game's rough. I don't understand the nostalgia for it.
Well, they became the basis of, these are the separate games. So Road Rage is more like Crazy Taxi. Hit and Run is the GTA.
Yes.
One, which we did. We didn't do the Crazy Taxi one, which might have been fine. I haven't played it in a really long time.
Yeah, but it was Crazy Taxi. They, you know, and this is 2001, right when Crazy Taxi was kind of all of the rage. This resulted in a lawsuit. Sega sued the developers and publishers for infringing on their intellectual property of, you know, I don't know specifically what it was, but presumably, you know, simulating.
Milhouse dived out of the way of a car. And now Milhouse dived out of the way of the car twice. That was at our old rate.
Get off my property.
Get off my IP. Get off my intellectual property. Wait, what a specific meme we've just verbally crafted.
I know, right?
So they sued.
Yeah.
And but they couldn't keep that up. You know?
Right. There were too many. This broke containment, right? And we don't know. We don't. So it settled out of court. Like EA and company did end up paying money for this, but you know, it is unclear for what. But like, this is ultimately the legacy of Crazy Taxi, which is this idea of, you know, picking people up and dropping them off and kind of a checkpoint based, you know, version of that for time extension. Like, this went from being a game to being a feature.
Yeah, well, there's also still games of it, right? Like, so there's a game called Taxi Chaos and a game called Death Taxi 3000, both of which are spiritual successors to Crazy Taxi.
Yeah.
One's just straight up, and then one's in a cyberpunk world, but they are as actionably similar as Simpsons Road Rage.
Yes.
So like, this can be a feature that supports a game. It's also a thing that you do in GTA every once in a while.
That's what I mean when when I say it goes from being a feature to or a game to a feature, right? Yeah. Like, you know, this kind of becomes a mini game and other stuff.
Yeah. And not a very good one. Nope. There's like a thing, you know, one of the things in GTA 5, there's a mini game where like you're, I think you're on a plane, but they're like, do a bunch of things where you almost, you'll do a bunch of crazy throughs. To scare your passengers.
Yeah.
Almost hit stuff. And it's like, you don't have the support and structure for this.
No. It's a good driving model that you have in that game, but it is not Crazy Taxi's driving model.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's again, that focus, like this is a game, one of the, as we're wrapping up, this is one of, to my mind, one of the best examples of a game that you cannot add to or subtract from. You know, similar, we had like a dispatch prompt we didn't end up doing, maybe we will in the future, about perfect games. And that was the way that question was postured was more like, what is the game going for?
Yeah.
And my definition of perfect game, which I lifted, like, just was influenced by a YouTube critic named Matthew Matosis, who talked about Tetris this way. Mm-hmm. And like Tetris is not necessarily the best game, but it's a perfect game. You mm-hmm. can't take anything away from it or add anything to it.
Yeah.
You know, if we're three block pieces or five block pieces, it just wouldn't work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Crazy Taxi is very similar.
Yeah.
When you add or subtract to this, and you can see it as you play Crazy Taxi, it gets fucked up.
Yeah.
You know, adding the different play modes, like nothing actually works quite as well as just the arcade mode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you were to add a story, if you were to add a real gear shift, if you were to add power-ups, Crazy Taxi 2 adds jumps.
Yeah.
You know, to it. It's not necessary. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
With this. They kept trying to, and that's kind of, it's one of the tragedies of art and sequels, mm-hmm. you know, that like you have to make a new one, you have to do something new.
Mm-hmm.
And this doesn't want anything new.
No. Anything additional you do compromises the wholeness of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very svelte and perfect kind of thing.
Yeah.
And for what it is, right? Like somebody can mm-hmm. be like, oh, I don't like this driving model. It feels bad to my hands.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do anything about that. You know, that's just like saying that you don't like how cucumbers taste.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you just don't like how it feels. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of just like an experience, this feels very pure to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like this will stay installed on my computer until I die.
Oh,
now that I've reinstalled it. Like this isn't going anywhere. It's very small and mm-hmm. I'm going to pick it up every once in a while because it's super fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love this little portable pill that I can take to have a little bit of fun.
It is just a great way to get a little boost. A
crazy boost. An absolutely crazy boost. For my sanity, it has avoided a discourse. Like nobody's been like, you can't have Crazy Taxi. That's ableist. Like, it's 1999. Let us have it.
Yeah.
He doesn't mean it that way. Come on. Listen to him.
No, but what if you started it?
I know.
You have to be real careful what you speak into existence.
Fuck. Yeah, the WAF effect, the dark side of the WAF effect. Yeah. Short episode. We warned you they would happen. They will continue to happen.
Mm-hmm. Until morale approves.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that some people don't mind them. Some people don't like them as much.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very limiting to what we can talk about
if we
only talk about things with narratives.
Right.
You know, things are worth talking about even when they're not mm-hmm. narrative.
I'm absolutely. And I am always down for stretching the format, you know?
Yeah, me too. If you have anything to say about Crazy Taxi, if you would like to write in, please write mm-hmm. in at duckfeed.tv/contact. If you have anything to say about Crazy Taxi, Unavowed, Pony Island, or Age of Empires 2.
Yeah. To let you know what we're going to be covering on Age of Empires 2, just so we can set expectations for it. Both of us have played the tutorial, mm-hmm. and then both of us are going to play two of the campaigns that come with the definitive edition and then some skirmishes. Way too big of a game to cover in its entirety. So there's that.
Yeah, it just takes time. Like I'm enjoying the game. I think I'm maybe a little warmer on it, but it does, it's time consuming.
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah. So those are February's games. March's games, if you have thoughts about those are Teardown Part 2, The Room, those iOS and now Steam like Room Escape games.
Mm-hmm.
And then our premium episode is going to be Spider-Man Miles Morales. That is also right in to duckfeed.tv/contact by
March
the 15th. Yes. Yeah. If you have thoughts about multiple games, please separate them into multiple responses. That makes our job possible.
Yeah. A couple of people have asked about The Room since that is a really short game. We will be talking about the series kind of generally where it goes. Mm-hmm. We're just not going to cover every game in it.
Yeah.
You know, that will likely be a little bit of a format stretch as well, but we want to talk about different kinds of stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
If you like the show, head on over to patreon.com/duckfeedtv to get a bunch of exclusive content. This month's bonus episode, so Age of Empires 2, next month's Spider-Man Miles Morales, all of mm-hmm. our past bonus episodes, and whole bonus shows.
Yeah.
You get all kinds of stuff.
Like our show about Baldur's Gate 3, Crazy Tabaxi.
Yeah.
real Lich Hours.
I like that.
Thanks.
That's good. Usually when I can hear you cooking something, you know, I'm like, okay, you've been cooking this one for a little bit. But no, that one got me. You got a surprise.
Okay, cool.
I like it quite a bit. You're going to make some crazy money on Crazy Tabaxi. You can listen to that. You can also listen to our show on horror movies, Unfilmable, which mm-hmm. is a network favorite. Higher tiers get you Adaptation Decay. Mm-hmm. That's real fun. We got a real weird one. for you this month that you probably not heard of, but is good. Mm. Yeah, we'd put out a lot of stuff there, and we think it is good value. Just $5, $10 a month, you know, $2.50 a week. Get you tons of stuff.
So much stuff. Yeah. Cool. Well, ratings, reviews, all of that. You know how to help out a show. Primarily, we want you to join us in thanking our producer, Gwen, who helps us put out these episodes. Thank you, Gwen.
Yeah, we very, very much appreciate her. Mm-hmm. And until next time, what should they watch out for, Cole?
Watch out for somebody who's got energy.